The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listener, and welcome back to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. I'm your host, Steve Taylor. Tonight's episode is about sound, not music as comfort, not noise for distraction, but sound as survival, because some places don't fear the dark, they fear the silence. Before we step into tonight's broadcast, before the signal fades, let's take a moment to catch up on what's happening here at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. First, a quick reminder that Evil Idol 2025 continues to rage on. Round 2 is in full swing, and the competition has never been fiercer. Jaw-dropping performances are landing regularly on our YouTube channel, and every vote helps shape who advances and who fades into the static. If you haven't been following along yet, now is the perfect time to jump in. Head over to YouTube, search Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, and be sure to subscribe and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single performance, episode, or update. And while you're there, or wherever you listen, please consider following the show and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It's one of the simplest ways to support what we do, and it helps more listeners tune in and discover the dark. If you'd like to take your experience even further, we invite you to become a Chilling Tales for Dark Nights member. For just $7.99 a month or at a discounted annual rate, you'll unlock ad-free listening, early access to new episodes, exclusive bonus content, and full access to our premium archive. You can learn more and join us today at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok, where we share updates, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive announcements. Now then, what would you do if silence itself became the enemy? Tonight's tale comes from a writer whose work thrives in the uneasy space between horror, science fiction, and the deeply strange. Our featured story this evening was written by K.G. Lewis, and it is presented courtesy of our friends at Velox Books. This story comes from K.G. Lewis's collection, Flotsam and Jetsam, a collection of short horror, science fiction, weird, and unusual stories, available now on Amazon.com from Velox Books, in hardcover, paperback, Kindle ebook, and audiobook formats. If you enjoy stories that feel like lost broadcasts from the Twilight Zone or the Outer Limits, tales where ordinary roads lead to extraordinary danger, this collection deserves a place on your shelf. Tonight's story is performed by Jeff Sturtevant, featuring Victoria Voss and Drew Blood, with production by Aaron Sawicki. From author K.G. Lewis, we present Keep On Rocking in the Free World.
Shit, I cursed as the car's engine suddenly died. I tried to restart it, but nothing happened when I turned the key. Everything just turned off and never came back on. Not wanting to leave the car in the middle of the road, I turned the wheel and let the car coast to a stop on the side of the country road.
What's going on?
Elena asked.
Why'd you stop?
She had her eyes closed and was starting to doze off when I pulled the car over to the shoulder. Car's dead. I pointed at the dashboard. Elena sat up and looked around, trying to get an idea of where we were. When she didn't see any street signs or buildings, she pulled out her phone and tried to open her map app.
No service.
She turned the screen so I could see it before putting the phone away.
Do you have any idea where we are?
No clue, I admitted. I was following that shortcut the guy at the gas station told us about. All I know is that this road is supposed to reconnect with the interstate at some point. I gestured off into the distance. I had asked the gas station attendant about an alternate route around the city when I saw that an accident had closed all lanes on the interstate, potentially adding hours to our drive.
What's the last town we drove through?
Some place called Wrong Way, about 20 miles back, I replied.
Wrong Way?
Elena scoffed.
Seriously?
That's what the sign said.
Does your phone have service?
She pointed between my legs where my phone was sitting on the car seat. My phone was a newer model than hers, and I had a much better cell phone plan, so she was hoping it had better reception. Nope, I said after lifting the phone to check it. I haven't had service since we left Wrong Way. Elena turned in her seat and looked back the way we had come, scanning the road behind us.
Have you seen any other cars?
She was hoping we'd be able to flag down another driver that could help us. Not since, I started to answer, but Elena cut me off.
Wrong way,
she finished. She took a deep breath and exhaled it with a sigh.
I guess that means we're walking.
5 minutes later, Elena and I were standing next to the car, adjusting our backpacks. We'd packed light because we were only supposed to be gone for a couple of days. Looks like we're not going to make it to the music festival in time to see the opening acts, I sighed as we started walking away from the car.
That's fine with me,
Elena replied.
All of the bands I'm most excited about seeing aren't playing until tomorrow anyway.
We continued talking about the music festival until I realized we'd walked a couple of miles and hadn't seen a single car or house or any other sign of people in the area. Maybe we should turn around, I suggested, wondering if it would have been smarter to walk back to Wrong Way instead of going forward.
This road leads to the interstate, right?
Elena asked.
If it does, we're bound to run into someone eventually, don't you think?
I guess, I reluctantly agreed.
We can go back if you want,
Elena offered, even though she didn't want to do that. She figured the next town had to be a lot closer than returning to the previous town. No, I said. We can keep walking this way.
I'm sure we'll come across a house or a gas station soon,
she hoped.
Certainly within the next mile or two.
She sounded confident. We walked the next mile in silence before I spotted something in the distance. What's that? I pointed across an expanse of tall grass where the top of a white dome was peeking over the tree line. Elena, who was walking a couple steps in front of me, stopped and turned so she could see what I was pointing at.
It looks like the top of a water tower,
she smiled.
I told you the next town had to be nearby.
She left the road and started across the field.
Come on.
She motioned for me to follow her. Where are you going?
I'm taking a shortcut,
Elena called back. Shouldn't we just follow the road?
We could.
She stopped and turned around.
But this way will be faster.
How do you know that?
Because of the water tower.
She hooked her thumb over her shoulder.
The closer we get to it, the closer to town we should be.
When I didn't make a move to join her, she said,
we can keep walking along the road if you want, but it'll probably take us twice as long to get there, assuming the road doesn't bypass the town altogether.
I hadn't thought of that. I didn't like the idea of walking any further than I had to, and I certainly didn't want to risk walking past the town. I pulled out my phone and checked it, something I'd done frequently as we walked. When I saw that it still had no service, I slid it back into my pocket and walked out into the field to join Elena.
Almost there,
Elena huffed, stopping to finish the last drop of water from the plastic bottle she was carrying. When she was done, she put the empty bottle into her backpack. The walk to get to the water tower was a bit more arduous than it looked. Once we passed through the field and made it into the trees, the ground began to rise and fall in a series of rolling hills. What I thought was going to be a quick walk ended up being an hour-long hike.
"Do you want to take a break?"
Elena asked after seeing me pull out my water bottle to take a drink. The tower was about 500 feet away from us at the top of the next hill. "Nah, I'm good," I replied, recapping my water bottle and sliding it into the little pouch on the side of my backpack. "We can take a break when we get to the top," I nodded up the hill. We were halfway up the hill when Elena suddenly stopped and tilted her head, listening to something.
"Do you hear that?"
she asked. I stopped so I could listen too. When she'd asked, all I could hear was the sound of my footsteps crunching through the tall grass covering the hill. "That sounds like music," I said after hearing the faint pounding of drums. As I continued to listen, I could make out the whine of an electric guitar and screaming vocals of a heavy metal singer. "That's definitely music," I confirmed. Elena smiled.
"I know this song,"
she said as she started walking again. "I don't recognize it," I admitted as I followed behind her. It didn't sound like anything I or Elena normally listened to.
"It's Rainbow in the Dark by Dio,"
Elena said.
"It was one of my dad's favorite songs,"
she revealed before singing along to the song's chorus. "I think it's coming from down there," I pointed. We'd reached the top of the hill where a cracked and rutted road led to the left and right of our position. I was pointing to the left. As we stood there, Rainbow in the Dark ended and a new song began.
"Whoever's playing this stuff really loves their 80s metal,"
Elena smiled, once again recognizing the song that was playing. "I didn't know you were a fan," I replied. In the 8 months I'd known Elena, I'd always assumed our taste in music was the same. It was the topic we'd bonded over, especially our love for the Lumineers and other modern folk bands. We were actually on the way to a folk music festival when the car broke down. I didn't think liking heavy metal was a bad thing. I was just surprised to hear that Elena liked it.
"I grew up on this stuff,"
she said.
"My mom and dad were huge metalheads in the 80s.
She laughed as she recalled some of the pictures she'd seen of her parents.
"You should have seen their hair."
She held her hands up to both sides of her head.
"So much hairspray."
As Elena talked, I pulled out my phone, checking to see if service had returned.
"Anything?"
Elena sounded hopeful after checking her phone and seeing that she didn't have any service. I shook my head. "Nope.
I guess that means we should find whoever's blasting that music and see if they have a phone we can use,"
she replied. In my mind, I pictured a bar full of burly bikers sitting around drinking beer and listening to loud music. It made me uncomfortable with the idea of seeking out the source of the music, but we really didn't have any other options at the moment. As I followed Elena up the road, I silently hoped that we'd find someone else to help us before we found out where the music was coming from. Elena, who had started singing along to Judas Priest's "You've Got Another Thing Coming," the song that was currently playing, didn't seem to share my concerns.
"I think I see a house,"
Elena declared. We'd been walking for about 10 minutes, following the music, when she saw the roof of a structure behind a line of trees a few hundred meters from the road.
"Never mind,"
she sighed as she came to the other side of the tree line and saw the broken windows and missing door of the house. "This one's abandoned too," I pointed at a house on the opposite side of the road. Elena had been so focused on the house she'd seen that she hadn't noticed the one across the street from it that was in a similar state of disrepair.
"Sounds like the music is coming from both houses."
Elena stopped and looked from one house to the other while tilting her head to listen. I stopped and listened too. The music did sound like it was coming from both houses, but it also sounded like it was still coming from further up the street. "Wanna check it out?" I asked, hooking my thumb toward the nearest house.
"Sure,"
Elena replied. The music coming from the abandoned houses had piqued her curiosity. She followed me through the weed-infested yard and up onto the porch. The closer we got to the house, the louder the music got. "It sounds like it's coming from the back," I said as I peered through the doorway. A moment later, I stepped off the porch and began circling the house, peering through the broken windows.
"What are you doing?"
Elena asked as she followed behind me. "Making sure there's nobody inside," I replied. Someone had to set up the speakers that were playing the music, and I wanted to make sure they weren't still around. Plus, I'd started to get an uneasy feeling, the kind you get when you think someone is watching you.
See anything?
Elena asked as we moved to the back of the house. No, I shook my head. I couldn't tell where the music was coming from either, I added.
Well, let's find out.
Elena stepped onto the back patio, through the remains of the sliding glass door and into the house. I turned in a circle, scanning the surrounding area behind the house, trying to figure out why I couldn't shake the feeling that someone was watching me. When I didn't see anyone, I joined Elena.
It sounds like it's coming from up there.
Elena had to raise her voice to be heard over the music as she pointed at the ceiling.
In the attic.
This doesn't feel right. I verbalized the anxiety I was feeling. I think we should leave. Elena looked over at me and then back up at the ceiling.
It is pretty weird.
She agreed. The two of us left the house. When we returned to the road, I started walking back the way we had come, while Elena went in the opposite direction.
Where are you going?
Elena asked. She was the first to realize that we weren't walking in the same direction. I looked over my shoulder at her. Back to the car? I said.
Seriously?
Elena scoffed.
We're already here. Let's just keep going until we find someone who can help us.
She gestured in the direction she wanted to go. Okay, I relented. But if we don't find anyone in the next half hour, we're going back to the car.
Fair enough.
We continued walking up the road without talking to each other. Even if we had anything to say, the increasing volume of the music would have made it hard for us to hear each other clearly. As we walked, I kept my phone in hand so I could periodically check for service and see how much time had passed. If we didn't find anyone soon, I was planning on walking back to the car with or without her.
Look!
Elena said, raising her voice to be heard over the music. I looked up from my phone to see her standing in the middle of an intersection, pointing at a building down a side street.
I bet whoever is playing the music is in there,
she said. The building Elena was pointing at was a small brick structure with the remnants of a large antenna tower on the roof. Mounted on the side of the building facing us were four large, heavily weathered letters, identifying the structure as a radio station. KLLD, I announced the station's call letters. Never heard of it. I had to practically yell to be heard over the music, which seemed to be coming from all the buildings that lined the street.
I don't think many people have,
Elena replied.
I doubt they can broadcast very far with a broken antenna.
She gestured at the roof of the building. Do you really think there's someone inside? I asked while looking at the empty parking lot in front of the station. I don't see any cars. The fact that we'd seen so many abandoned houses but not a single person was making me feel anxious. I didn't want to go any further. I wanted to turn around and leave.
There has to be someone,
she insisted.
The music isn't playing itself.
Maybe it's automated, programmed to play random songs, I countered.
Even if it is, there should still be someone around to make sure it's running properly,
Elena said. Not if they've left town like everyone else seems to have. I swept my arm behind me to gesture at the rows of empty houses we'd walked past.
Well, I guess there's only one way to find out,
Elena declared as she started walking up the street. When we made it to the entrance of the radio station, Elena reached out and tested the glass door to see if it would open.
It's unlocked,
she rasped. Her throat was dry from talking with her voice raised and not having anything to drink. I pressed my face to the dirty glass so I could see inside.
See anyone?
Elena asked. I shook my head. No. All I saw was a reception desk with two large speakers sitting on opposite ends of it. Currently blaring from them was the Quiet Riot song, Come On Feel the Noise, but I didn't know that at the time. Elena pulled the door open and walked inside, holding it open for me to follow. As I walked by her, she threw up her hand, making the sign of the devil, and began singing the chorus to the song while banging her head to the beat.
I love Quiet Riot,
she said when she was done. I couldn't tell, I replied with a lopsided grin on my face. The two of us stood in the entryway, examining our surroundings.
Which way?
Elena eventually asked. Two doors led further into the building, one on either side of the reception area. Why don't you check that door? I pointed to the door closest to Elena, and I'll check this one. Using the same hand, I hooked my thumb over my shoulder at the door behind me.
Sounds like a plan,
Elena said, turning and approaching the door I'd indicated. I waited until she opened the door and peeked inside before I opened the door in front of me. On the other side of the door, I saw the booth where the DJ sat and played music. When I saw that someone was sitting inside the booth with a pair of headphones on, I quickly shut the door and spun around to look at Elena.
What'd you find?
Elena asked when she saw me looking at her. I considered lying and telling her that there wasn't anything there, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. There's a guy in there. I gestured at the door.
Great, let's go talk to him,
Elena said, brushing past me as she rushed across the entryway and through the door. I stood in the doorway and watched as Elena approached the window at the booth and knocked on it, trying to get the man's attention. It took her several tries, knocking louder and louder each time, before the man who was sitting with his back to us swiveled in his chair and saw her. Elena waved at him. The man, who appeared to be in his late 50s or early 60s, was clearly shocked to see us. He stared at us for what seemed like an eternity, before removing his headphones and slowly rising from his chair before walking out of the booth.
What are you doing here?
He asked, raising his voice to be heard over the music. Elena looked back at me before answering.
Our car broke down on the way to the interstate,
she said.
We saw the water tower from the road and figured there was a town nearby, so we cut across the woods and headed this way. From there, we just followed the music until we found you.
She paused for a moment. When the man didn't say anything, she added,
We're just looking for a phone so we can call someone to come help us.
I walked over to join them as Elena spoke. The man opened his mouth to say something, but stopped and looked back into the booth because the Quiet Riot song had just ended.
One second.
He raised his index finger and rushed back into the booth, removed the Quiet Riot record from the player, grabbed a new record without looking at it, and started to play it. A moment later, the guitar intro for Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls roared from the speakers. When the man returned, he shuffled over to a desk in the corner of the room, grabbed something, and returned to where Elena and I were standing.
You said you came into town over by the water tower, right?
The man asked as he unfolded the thing he'd grabbed from the desk and held it up, showing us that it was a map. Elena and I both nodded.
Can you show me the route you took to get here?
He asked. Sure, I said, wondering why that was so important to the guy.
This is where we are.
The man pointed to a spot near the center of the town.
And this is where the water tower is.
He slid his finger to a spot outside of town. This is the way we came, I said, stepping forward and placing my finger on the spot where the water tower was, moving it diagonally to the edge of the map. The map didn't show enough of the surrounding areas to have the road we'd broken down on it.
Did you follow this road to get into town?
The man pointed at the road that ran in front of the water tower.
Or did you cut through here?
He moved his finger in a straight line from the tower to the radio station, cutting across a couple of fields and side streets. We followed the road. Why does that matter? I snapped. I was getting irritated at being questioned. I just wanted to use the phone and get the heck out of there. The man ignored my question and asked one of his own.
Do you know how to use a record player?
He looked from me to Elena. No, I admitted. I was sure I could figure it out, but I wasn't going to offer.
Of course,
Elena declared at the same time. The man motioned for Elena to follow him into the booth. Once inside, he pointed at the record player.
When that song ends, start another one.
He moved his finger from the player to the crates of records that were stacked up against the wall. Elena walked over to one of the crates and lifted a record out.
You only have singles?
She asked, holding up the small record that was only large enough to contain a single song per side.
What you see is what I got.
The man swept his arms across the room. Elena put the record back, and started flipping through the crate until she found a record that caught her eye. It was Queensryche's Operation Mindcrime. She pulled it out and turned around to show me.
I'd completely forgotten this band existed.
She smiled.
I'm playing this next.
Yeah, play whatever you like.
The man said.
Just keep it playing.
He jabbed his finger at the record player. Why? I asked. Once again, he ignored my question.
I need to run over to my trailer to get my phone so you can make your call.
The man said.
I'll explain everything when I get back.
He shuffled out of the booth and toward the exit of the radio station. What's wrong with that phone? I followed the man, was pointing at an old phone that was sitting on one of the desks.
It doesn't work.
The man replied.
None of the phones in town do. If you want to make a call here, you need a satellite phone, which I have in my trailer.
I was about to suggest that maybe I should go with the man, but Elena interrupted me.
Leave him alone,
she snapped.
He's just trying to help.
To the man, she said.
Do you have anything to drink around here? My throat is killing me.
She placed her hand on her neck.
There's a fridge in the break room.
The man pointed to the other side of the building.
Help yourself to whatever you want.
Cool,
Elena replied. Right after she finished speaking, the Metallica song ended.
That's my cue,
she smiled, returning to the booth to put the Queensryche record on. The man waited until the song began to play before he left. Wait a minute. I stopped him as he was about to step out into the parking lot. Where's your trailer?
See that stop sign?
The man gestured up the street. Yeah, I answered.
Take that left and it's two blocks up on the right-hand side. You can't miss it.
When he was done talking, he pushed the door open and walked outside. I considered following behind him to see if he really was going to his trailer, but I decided against doing that. I didn't want to leave Elena alone.
Do you want something to drink?
Elena asked loudly from behind me, startling me.
I didn't mean to scare you.
She quickly apologized. When I didn't acknowledge her comment, she said,
Are you okay?
Not really, I admitted. This place gives me the creeps. Where is everyone? And what's up with all this? I gestured at the speakers on the desk. None of it makes any sense.
You're right, it doesn't,
Elena agreed.
But we're here, so let's try not to make a big deal out of it. When he comes back, we'll call a tow truck and get the heck out of here, okay?
Okay, I sighed. If he comes back, I thought.
In the meantime, let's see what he has to drink.
Elena tugged on my arm, pulling me toward the door that led to the break room.
What do you want?
Elena stood before the open door of the refrigerator and gestured at the various brands of beer and soda that filled its shelves. I haven't had one of those in a while. I pointed at a bottle of IBC root beer.
Sounds good to me.
She grabbed two bottles and held one out to me. After I took the offered bottle, Elena reached into the fridge and grabbed two more bottles before shutting it.
Let's get back before this song ends. I need to figure out what I'm going to play next.
She seemed to be enjoying the idea of being a disc jockey. As we passed back through the entryway, I stopped by the doors and chugged my root beer as I looked outside at the deserted street. I don't think he's coming back, I blurted out after I'd finished my drink.
Why do you think that?
Elena asked. Just a feeling, I replied, keeping my attention focused on the street.
You can go look for him if it'll make you feel better,
Elena offered. And leave you here? I turned to look at her.
I'll be fine,
she insisted. I pulled my phone out and checked it for the millionth time, hoping it would have service and I wouldn't have to go looking for the man. But that wasn't the case. Okay, I'm going, I sighed, pushing my way through the door and walking out into the parking lot. Elena returned to the booth to start looking for the next song she was going to play. Two blocks up on the right-hand side, I muttered to myself after I'd reached the stop sign. I stood there for a moment, looking in the direction the man had indicated, but I couldn't see a trailer. Just a row of shops. Wanting to give the man the benefit of the doubt, I decided to walk up the road to see if I could find the trailer. I did find it, on the other side of an auto body shop, set back a couple hundred feet from the road on a heavily wooded lot, and I didn't like what I found. The door to the trailer was wide open, and there was no sign of the man. "I knew it," I hissed after I poked my head through the doorway of the trailer, confirming that it was empty. As I looked around the interior of the trailer, I noticed feminine items scattered around, items that most men wouldn't have a use for, and they all looked like they'd been recently used. "There's someone else here," I thought. I whirled around and scanned the road, looking for any sign of the man or the woman who was likely with him, but the road curved out of sight, limiting my field of vision. They couldn't have gotten far. I was about to jog up the road and try to catch up to them, but I stopped when I saw a piece of paper, weighed down with a brick, sitting on top of a trash can next to the trailer door. I pulled the paper free and held it up. Written on it was a single sentence: "The music keeps them away." "What's that supposed to mean?" I asked out loud. As soon as I asked the question, the song that was playing ended. I assumed Elena would start a new song at any moment, but she never did. The sudden silence, coupled with the idea that something might have happened to Elena, sent chills up my spine. "Elena!" I yelled as I ran back toward the radio station. I'd only managed to make it a block before strange figures began appearing in the doorways of all the nearby shops. "Hello?" I stopped and raised my hand in greeting, thinking the closest figure was a person. I quickly realized my mistake when the figure stepped out of the shadows and onto the sidewalk. There was nothing human about it, except its basic shape. Its face was featureless, and its body was a pixelated mixture of gray, black, and white, the colors in constant motion, like the static on a television screen. As it got closer, I thought I could hear the hiss of white noise coming from it. The figures converged on me with slow, measured steps. I turned and ran back toward the trailer, but again, I didn't make it very far. While I was watching the figures in front of me, several more had come out of the buildings behind me. There were close to 20 of them, all making their way toward me. I was surrounded. I spun in a circle, looking for a way to escape, but none presented itself. There were now more than 50 of the figures spread out around me in every direction, all walking toward me. The closest ones were less than 20 feet away. "If you're going to do something, you better do it now," the voice of reason shouted in my mind. I tensed my muscles, preparing to run, but before I did, the drum intro to Iron Maiden's Run to the Hills began pounding from the speakers. The bodies of the figures flickered, like a television screen having trouble focusing, before they dispersed with flashes of light so bright that I had to shield my eyes. When I was able to uncover them, I saw that I was alone in the street. Not wanting to be stuck outside when the current song ended, I ran as fast as I could back to the radio station. "Elena!" I yelled, throwing open the doors of the station. I kept calling her name until I saw her standing in the doorway of the booth, staring at me with a concerned look on her face.
"What's wrong?"
she asked. "He's gone," I panted. "And there were these things." Speaking quickly, I stumbled over my words, making them sound incoherent.
"Catch your breath and then start over,"
Elena said. "He's gone," I repeated, taking a deep breath between each word. Before I could continue, Elena interrupted me.
"What do you mean he's gone?"
she asked. "Gone, as in gone," I said, crossing the room so I didn't have to shout to be heard over the music. "He just up and left."
"Why would he do that?"
"It probably had something to do with the weird..." I paused, trying to think of the right word to describe the figures I'd seen. "People out there." I hooked my thumb over my shoulder toward the entrance of the radio station.
"There are other people here?"
Elena sounded hopeful. I sighed in frustration. "Not people. People is the wrong word for them. They're things. Ghosts. Aliens. Fuck, I don't know what they are. I just know they aren't human. They appeared when you stopped playing the music. Why did you stop playing the music anyway?
I had to pee really bad. I didn't think I was going to be gone that long,
she said. And then it suddenly hit her what I had said.
Did you say aliens?
She asked, raising her eyebrows and looking at me like I was crazy. Instead of replying, I held out the note I'd found, which was still clutched in my fist. I found this, I said. Elena took the note and smoothed it out so she could read it.
The music keeps them away. What's that supposed to mean?
It's better if you see for yourself, I said.
What am I supposed to be looking for?
Elena asked.
Little green men?
She laughed as she walked toward the entrance. I wasn't amused by her attempt at humor. You won't be laughing when you see them, I said. Once Elena was in position, I walked into the booth and removed the needle from the record that was playing. A couple of minutes later, Elena came running back into the booth.
What the hell are those things?
I shrugged. I have no idea. All I know is that the music keeps them away. I pointed at the note, as it says there.
Then hurry up and turn the music back on before they get in here.
Elena sounded frantic. I obliged, placing the needle back on the record and restarting the song. Elena peeked back through the doorway at the entrance to verify that the things outside were gone. She sighed in relief when she saw that they were.
We can't stay here,
she said. I agree, I said. But we can't just walk out of here either. You won't make it out of town before the music ends. Thinking about leaving made me recall the conversation we'd had with the man about how he was asking so many questions about the route we'd taken to get into town. He was asking those questions because he knew he'd be able to escape if he left town the same way we had arrived.
How long did it take us to get into town from the water tower?
Elena asked. About 25, 30 minutes, I replied. Why? Elena picked up the map the man had left on the desk and examined it.
If we cut across here,
she drew a straight line with her finger from the radio station to the water tower.
Running the entire way, we could probably make it back in about 10 minutes.
That means we'll need a song that's at least 10 minutes to cover our escape, I pointed out.
Not a song,
Elena replied.
We need an entire album.
I doubt you're gonna find one here, I said. If there was one, that guy would have been playing it instead of sitting here playing song after song, don't you think?
He wouldn't have been able to do that all day, though. He'd have to sleep sometime,
she replied, hoping we'd be able to find some easy way out of our predicament. He had help, I revealed. There was someone else living in the trailer with him. They probably took shifts playing songs while the other person slept.
That's what we can do,
Elena blurted out.
You can stay and play the music while I go and get help.
Why don't you stay and I go and get help? I countered. I didn't want to be left alone.
Because I'm faster than you,
Elena sneered.
I can make it back to the car a lot quicker than you can.
You don't know that, I said, feeling slightly offended by her comment. I can run pretty fast when I want to. Elena eyed my body, the look on her face implying that I was not in the best of shape.
I'm going,
she suddenly decided, walking quickly toward the exit. You won't get very far, I threatened, before walking into the booth and removing the needle from the record.
Seriously?
Elena scoffed, turning around and returning.
Don't you want to get out of here?
Of course I do, I snapped. But I want us to do it together. Elena stood with her hand on her hips and a scowl on her face. Let's wait an hour, I suggested. If we can't figure out a way for both of us to leave by then, you can go get help while I stay here.
Fine,
Elena snapped.
1 hour.
Satisfied we had settled our differences, I placed the needle back on the record.
I guess we should see what songs we have to work with,
Elena said. After walking into the booth to join me, she started flipping through the available records. I don't recognize any of these bands, I admitted after looking through a few of the records.
Look for anything by Megadeth, Metallica, or Slayer. Some of their songs are pretty long,
Elena advised. Okay, I said. But first I need to pee. That root beer I drank had gone straight to my bladder. I started to walk away, but stopped when I realized I had no idea where the restroom was. Guessing what I was about to ask her, Elena pointed the way.
It's on the other side, past the break room.
Thanks, I replied. I'll be right back. After I had finished using the facilities and was washing my hands, I heard the music stop. A few seconds later, a new song started playing. Surprisingly, it was one that I recognized. I know this song, I declared as I walked back over to the booth. But there was no reply. The booth was empty, and Elena was nowhere to be found. She'd left without me, knowing I'd do the right thing and keep the music playing for her. Through the speakers, the lead singer for the band Europe belted out the chorus of their most popular hit, The Final Countdown.
You've just heard Keep On Rocking in the Free World, written by K.G. Lewis, performed by Jeff Sturtevant, featuring Victoria Voss and Drew Blood, with production by Aaron Sawicki. It's a story about thresholds, about places that shouldn't exist anymore, and the fragile rules that keep them from noticing us. Sometimes survival isn't about strength or speed or even luck. Sometimes it's about keeping the signal alive, one song at a time. This unsettling tale comes from K.G. Lewis's collection, Flotsam and Jetsam, a collection of short horror, science fiction, weird, and unusual stories, available now on Amazon.com from Velox Books in hardcover, paperback, Kindle ebook, and audiobook formats. As the undead editor Elijah Hall puts it, quote, "If you enjoy The Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits, you'll love K.G. Lewis." Unquote. Within this collection, you'll encounter stories where a father spends years chasing a mysterious funhouse where his son vanished, where a teenage girl stumbles upon a supernatural convenience store that offers her the chance to rewrite her destiny, and so much more. So do yourself a favor, tune in, turn up the volume, and pick up Flotsam and Jetsam, a collection of short horror, science fiction, weird, and unusual stories, today on Amazon.com. Before we sign off, though, let's take just a moment for a few final reminders. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, please remember to follow the show and leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen. It's one of the most effective ways to support Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, where you'll find full episodes, exclusive content, and ongoing coverage of Evil Idol 2025, including contestant performances and competition updates. And if you'd like to experience Chilling Tales for Dark Nights without ads, plus gain early access, exclusive bonuses, and our premium archive, visit chillingtalesfordarknights.com and become a member today for just $7.99 a month. You can also follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok to stay connected and up to date with everything that's coming your way. Some signals were never meant to stop. Some silences were never meant to begin. Until next time, turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listeners. Sweet dreams.